Between Narada and Vyasadeva. Antar bahischa lokam stream.
Antar bahischa lokam stream.
Antar bahischa lokam stream.
Antar bahischa lokam stream.
Parye yaskandita vrata. Paryem yas kandita vratah.
Paryem yas kandita vratah.
Anugrahan Mahavishnur.
Anugrahan Mahavishnur.
Anugrahan Mahavishnur.
Anugrahan Mahavishnur.
Avidhata gati kuchit.
Avidhata gati kuchit.
Avidhata gati kuchit. Antarvahishya lokam stream. Parjem yaskandita vrata. Anugrahan Mahavishnu. Avighata gati kvachit. Mercy. Mahavishnu of the Mahavishnu Karnodakshay Vishnu. avighata,
without restriction,
gati, entrance,
kochit,
at any time.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, peace be upon the Son, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Translation.
Since then, by the grace of the Almighty Vishnu, I travel everywhere without restriction, both in the transcendental world and in the three divisions of the material world. This is because I am fixed in unbroken devotional service of the Lord. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, there are three divisions of the material spheres, namely the Urdhva Loka, topmost planets, Madhya Loka, midway planets, and Adho Loka, downward planets. Beyond the Urdhva Loka planets, that is to say, above the Brahma Loka, are the material coverings of the universes, and above that is the spiritual sky, which is unlimited in expansion, containing unlimited self-illuminated Vaikuntha planets, inhabited by God Himself, along with His associates, who are all eternally liberated living entities. Sri Narada Muni could enter all these planets in both the material and spiritual spheres without restriction, as much as the Almighty Lord is free to move personally in any part of His creation. In the material world, the living beings are influenced by the three material modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. But Sri Narada Muni is transcendental to all these material modes, and thus he can travel everywhere unrestricted. He is a liberated spaceman. The causeless mercy of Lord Vishnu is unparalleled, and such mercy is perceived by the devotees only by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, the devotees never fall down. But the materialists, i.e. the fruitive workers, and the speculative philosophers do fall down, being forced by the respective modes of nature. The rishis, as above mentioned, cannot enter into the transcendental world like Narada. This fact is disclosed in the Narasimha Purana. Rishis like Marichi are authorities in food of work, and rishis like Sanaka and Sanatan are authorities in philosophical speculations. But Sri Narada Muni is the prime authority for transcendental devotional service of the Lord. All the great authorities in the devotional service of the Lord follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni in the order of the Narada Bhakti Sutra. And therefore all the devotees of the Lord are unhesitatingly qualified to enter into the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Shavakya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasma Shri Guruve Namaha Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Samyati Namini Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pucharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashvati Vishatavine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadweta Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, I am very grateful for this opportunity to glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam in whatever way that I can. It is said that in the Bhagavatam there's a verse that I'm very inspired by. It says that the Vaishnavas, because they are fully absorbed in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, that they do not experience the miseries of the material world. So following in this way, we try to absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna, and the material world is throwing all kinds of difficulties in our path. And taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can try to navigate these challenging times. So, Narada Muni is a very unique personality. The pastime of his life story is very instructive in so many different ways, and so I wanted to try to glorify him in some way. We hear the pastime of Daksha and Narada, how Daksha curses Narada Muni that he can not stay in any place for an extended period of time. And how Narada Muni accepts this very graciously, being a pure Vaishnava who never takes offense from criticism. And so in this way, he travels throughout all the three worlds, giving Krishna Bhakti to so many different personalities. And we see throughout the Bhagavatam and throughout other books as well. Like I just recently was reading from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And Narada Muni is a central figure. When the Lord comes to do his pastimes, his most intimate associates assist him in those pastimes. And Narada Muni is one of the most important personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is by Narada Muni's inspiration that Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have very special gratitude to Narada Muni. So here is described how Narada Muni is traveling throughout the three worlds. And he said, "This is because I'm fixed in unbroken devotional service of the Lord." So the material creation is very vast. You read how there's so many millions of miles, you know, between each layers of the outer covering of the Earth planet, and what to speak of layers covering the edges of the universe into the next loka and the next loka and the next loka, all the way up to the spiritual worlds. It is not so easy to travel from different planets. You read how the yogis do yoga meditation for thousands of years in order to gain some mystic siddhi so that they can travel, you know, long distances. What to speak of traveling to different planets? And there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that says, this is from the 5th canto, chapter 18, verse 12. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavati kinchana. Sarvar vinais tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kito mahadguna manorate nasati dhavatavi. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? So for one who is under the shelter of the Supreme Lord's internal energy, and one who is a pure devotee, or at least situated in the unimaginable ocean for the Supreme Lord, all the qualities of the demigods are present within. So Narada Muni is exhibiting this quality. He has so many mystic powers. We see that the Vaishnavas, they have so many mystic powers without even really, without any intention of cultivating them. There are many pastimes where we see these mystical occurrences surrounding the devotees of the Lord. Of course, it's by the Lord's empowerment, by the Lord's mercy, that the Vaishnavas can become they can attain these different kinds of powers. So we see Narada Muni, he can travel by the speed of the mind practically to all different planets in his mission to spread the Lord's message. And so we see even with Srila Prabhupada, many mystical things happen. Srila Prabhupada exhibited many mystical qualities. But it's not because he is a mystic yogi absorbed in the yoga practices, trying to attain the mystic siddhis. But simply by his devotion to the Lord, he becomes empowered in so many different ways. And we read how bhakti is all-encompassing. By the practice of devotional service, everything can be acquired. Not that that is our focus, but that is the nature of bhakti, that everything else can be achieved simply by the practice of devotional service. Just like the analogy is given, if you have $100, then all your $10 problems are solved. So in the practice of devotional service, so many other concomitant empowerments are there. And it is described, I think I was reading Madhurya Kadambini, how bhakti is completely independent and how jnana and karma are dependent on bhakti. And how all these different practices are dependent on bhakti in some form or another. So bhakti is like an umbrella under which all these different other activities, the fruit of all these different activities can be achieved. And for the Vaishnava, these different fruits of yogic practice are not desired. And it said how liberation is liberation is standing at the doorstep of the devotee, something like that. So we see this is the power of devotional service. When we are under the shelter of the internal energy, Mahatmanastamam Partha Daivim Prakritim Astada, then in the shelter of the Lord, the Lord can use us in any way that He likes. When we come to the platform of unalloyed devotional service, where we completely surrender to the will of the Lord, and in that way, we become empowered, and the Lord uses us as He likes, regardless of what we may think our own capacities to be. And so we see with all the Vaishnavacharyas in our line, they show that this is our path in a way that we can fully depend on the Lord, and we fully absorb ourselves in the service of the Lord. And in that way, we can attain that which ordinarily cannot be attained. It's described in the Brihadbhagavatamrita, Narada Muni is glorifying Gopakumara, and he is saying that you are aspiring for something which even I feel unqualified for. And I was thinking, how is that even possible? Narada Muni is an extremely intimate associate of the Lord. But he's saying that to the degree that we are surrendered to the Lord, we gain access to that which is not attainable even for Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, when when Narada Muni is going through different planets, going up to the different personalities, and he's looking for who is the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, and he's glorifying Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma is saying, I was there in Vrindavan, but I was just trying to disturb Krishna. I was trying to, you know, I stole his cowherd boys, and so what kind of devotee am I? Of course, this is Lord Brahma's humility in his pastime with the Lord. But we see how even for the most elevated personalities in this creation, that the secrets of devotional service are not revealed. And so, following in the footsteps of our Vaishnava Acharyas, we can aspire for the highest devotional service of the Lord by taking shelter of the devotees like Narada Muni. And it says here, all the great authorities in the devotional service of the Lord follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni in the order of the Narada Bhakti Sutra, and therefore all the devotees of the Lord are unhesitatingly qualified to enter into the kingdom of God. So, on our own, we cannot achieve much by our own strength. We are very limited. We are infinitesimal jivas. So when we place ourselves under the shelter of the Lord, under the shelter of the devotees of the Lord, then what becomes available to us is vastly increased. In the material world, the living beings are influenced by the three material modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. But Sri Narada Muni is transcendental to all these material modes. So, in the material world, we are so much conditioned by the material energy. We, from previous lives, we take so many material desires that come with us, so many impressions in the mind, so many samskaras like this. And these samskaras and impressions, they disturb us, and they give us trouble as we navigating the life in the material world. And so when we come to spiritual life, we may still struggle with these material modes. And only by practice of devotional service can we gain freedom from these material modes. And without the practice of devotional service, even though there are so many other practices, those practices do not fully release us from the stronghold of the material nature. And it says, therefore, the devotees never fall down, but the materialists, the fruitive workers, and the speculative philosophers do fall down, being forced by their respective modes of nature. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says that the mind is more difficult to control than the wind. So, the mind is so difficult to control, the senses are so difficult to control. There is so much suffering in the material world. And when we're not under the shelter of the Lord, we experience that suffering more acutely. We can see how when the realization of God is not there, when there is not the belief in God, the faith in God, then the suffering is so much more intense because we have no shelter. We place our faith in something that is also temporary and flickering. And in that way, we are feeling always lost and without any kind of shelter. So when we come under the shelter of the Lord and his devotees, we begin to experience some mitigation from that suffering. And even the suffering that we do experience, when we take shelter of the Lord, that suffering can become like a blessing. Because the Lord is all-merciful, and the Lord does not give us, I was listening to the lecture of Bhakti Kirtimach, he said, the Lord doesn't give us anything that we cannot use for our acceleration in Krishna consciousness. So there are, and for him to say something like that is very powerful, because he experienced so much suffering of the body, the material body, the cancer eating away his body. But he had this realization. And so, and it's following in that mood, we try to accept the shelter of the Lord as our only means of sustenance. And there's another verse I wanted to read. This is from 10th Canto, chapter 2, verse 32. Yes. Someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees, but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. So Krishna is the creator of these material creation. Everything in the material world is part of the external energy of the Lord. So until we take shelter of the Lord, because he is the only one who can allow us to pass through or navigate undisturbed through the material energy. And so, although there are many different kinds of yoga practices and different kinds of austerities, ultimately, without coming to the point of taking shelter of the Lord, these different processes are ultimately useless. And it is even described that the real value of these practices is if they in some way are supporting the practice of devotional service. So that the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, we understand to be challenges in spiritual life, but the mode of goodness as well is also a trap. The mode of goodness, we feel that there is no suffering and therefore we make no endeavor to flee from the material world. And so these practices that elevate us to the mode of goodness are only valued in so much as they are supporting our devotional service. So this kind of theme of Narada Muni traveling through the material worlds. Because I was reading from Bihar Bhagavatamrita, I thought it was nice that I got this verse, because really that's a big part of the story of Gopa Kumara, is how he's passing through these material realms, all the way up through, you know, Maharaloka and Tapoloka, up into the realm of the sages. And he... it's not that because he was such an intense yogi that he gained mystic powers that he could travel through these different planets. All he had was a mantra that he received from his guru. And his faith in that mantra, and his faith in his Ishtadev, which is Madan Gopal Krishna. By that faith and his mantra, he gained the power to be able to travel like this. And we see how through his ascension through the different planetary systems, he is fully supported by the Lord because of his faith. And it was described how when he reaches to, you know, places like Maharaloka and Tapoloka, where these sages are experiencing a very high level of happiness and satisfaction. And he's experiencing that as he's there with these sages, these self-realized sages, and he's feeling that satisfaction. And he's even thinking, you know, maybe I could stay here a little bit longer. But because of his devotion to the Lord increases his desire to be with the Lord in the form of his Ishadev, and in that way inspires him to continue forward from the next place. And even when he enters into Brahmaloka, and he takes the position of Brahma, and there Lord Brahma is the son of Lord Vishnu. You know, so he's having an association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's seeing his form, and he's touching the Lord, and he's experiencing, we can't even imagine, you know, what that is like to be in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of his devotion to the Lord, his purity of his heart, that the Lord supports him and pushes him to continue in his journey, seeing his devotion as in a particular mood to the Lord. And I thought that this was very powerful, because I sometimes underestimate the power of having strong faith in the Lord. We have been given so many tools and so much, resources, for lack of a better word, which each contains so much depth. Chanting, you can chant to clear up, the holy name has unlimited depths to be experienced by the devotee. To the degree we chant sincerely, to that degree we experience more and more pleasure from the holy name. When we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of the Lord, we can read it again and again and again and again and still find newer and newer insights, newer and newer realizations, as Srila Prabhupada is speaking to us in his writing of these books. Krishna is speaking to us through these books. When we come to serve the deity, you know, we can come and we can do the service kind of in a mechanical way. But we see that those devotees who do this service to the Lord with sincerity in their heart, they become very intimate with the Lord, and that, you know, they become so, they experience so much more. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's always more. You know, Krishna consciousness is like an ocean. One time Sachinanda Maharaj told me that Krishna consciousness is like an ocean, and on the surface, you know, there are waves, and there are, you know, creatures moving, and there's, but the deeper that we go, it becomes more quiet and more still. So in Krishna consciousness, the deeper that we go, we begin to experience, even with the same practices that we're doing. It's not that as we become advanced, we begin to experiment with so many different things. The same practices that we have, we just simply try to go deeper. And every time we do, we experience something more and more and more and more. And so something even so simple as chanting a mantra with faith in one's guru, so much power is there. And the strength of devotional service is inconceivable. And so we hear so many, especially now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and shared with us this Harinam Sankirtan, and Srila Prabhupada has established this ISKCON movement, and so much trials and tribulations were done in order to fulfill the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in that, there are hundreds of stories we hear about the special mercy of the Lord manifesting in different ways on the Vaishnava places himself under the shelter of the Lord. Like, I was thinking, there's one story of how, you know, I don't remember where it was, but the devotees, they had to pay the rent in whatever building they were in, and they had no idea how they were going to get the money, and they were just really in anxiety and stressing out. And then one day, you look out the window, and there's money just like falling from the sky, and they were able to pay the rent in this way. So like this, you see how the Lord is always there for his devotees. And if we have faith in that, if I have faith in that, then we begin to experience the... because the Lord is not restricted by the limitations of the material energy. Sometimes I think that, you know, oh, this thing can't happen because it doesn't make sense. But the Lord, he is free from those limitations. So by placing our faith in the Lord, by surrendering to the Lord, the limitations of the material energy no longer become relevant. Because the Lord, he can do anything. And in the same way, the pure Vaishnava, he also, because he is, it's described how, you know, bhakti is very rare because Krishna, he's giving himself to the devotee. And so it's very rare to attain devotional service. But the devotee, being more merciful than the Lord, he can be the via medium of that bhakti. He can give devotional service. So I thought that was very, very wonderful, because we can see that how Srila Prabhupada, he came and he transformed, you know, the hippies and all the different kinds of people who are around into devotees. And all of us at some point also, by the mercy of some Vaishnava, were transformed, and we gained entry into the practice of devotional service. And so we can see Narada Muni, he is a perfect example of that. How by Narada Muni's association, so many personalities became Krishna conscious. And by his own mercy, how merciful is Narada Muni? How merciful is the Vaishnava who by his own sweet will goes through so much difficulty and so much inconvenience, having to deal with the conditioned souls in order to give them Krishna Bhakti. Just like when he was passing by and there is Manigriva and Nala Kuvara who are enjoying sense gratification with heavenly women, and they completely ignored him. And out of his kindness upon them, out of his compassion, he arranged for them to get the darshan of the Lord in Braja, as baby Krishna, when he pulled down the trees. So the mercy of the devotee is also inconceivable. And how is so that he can, by his association, he can make us also dear to the Lord. For those who are dear to the Lord, they also become dear to Krishna. For those who are dear to the devotee, they become extremely dear to Krishna. So, and we can see how, you know, Dhruva Maharaj is also a good example. Prahlad Maharaj, there are so many examples like this, how, you know, Narada Muni, by the association of Narada Muni, they, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, he got the darshan of the Lord, and he got liberated. Even though he didn't, in the beginning, he had really no desire for that. He had material desires. He wanted a kingdom that was greater than his father's and his grandfather. But by the association of the pure devotee, he gained darshan of the Lord, and his heart became purified. And Prahlad Maharaj, in the womb of his mother, was hearing from Narada Muni. And that way he became so much so much strong faith in the Lord that even on the threat of death, and he was, and we see in the past time before Maharaj how the Lord protected him in so many ways from the attempts of his father to kill him. So we are very fortunate in this way that we have access to these personalities. We have access to these personalities, and through their mercy, by following in their footsteps, Mahajano Yulinanda Thalasa Panta. In following in their footsteps, we also can become very dear to the Lord by endearing ourselves to the Vaishnavas who are very dear to the Lord, and in that way we can become also recipients of the Lord's mercy. Actually, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is Narada Muni. He's speaking with Krishna. He says, Krishna says, "I can give you, you know, two boons." And Narada Muni is saying, "You know, I do. How can I ask, you know, for anything?" And Krishna insists, "No, you please ask." And Narada Muni says, "You know, let me always be a recipient of your mercy." So we can follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni, and trying to always take shelter of the Lord, try to become recipients of the Lord's mercy. And in that way we can cross over the ocean of the material world. Because by devotional, only by devotional service can we become free from the suffering of the material world. So I will stop there.
Verse says in the verse, Sanaka and Sanatana are expert in philosophical speculation. Can you explain more about what this means, philosophical speculation?
Well, I know that the Kumaras there, you know, because they're sons of Lord Brahma, they're Brahmavadis. And so, until they receive the mercy of the Lord, in other words, it's by smelling the scent of his lotus feet that you can purify. I'm not really sure, to be honest. I remember reading about it recently, but I can't remember. This is from the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Prabhupada will speak about philosophical speculation. First verse, from the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the Lord Himself is further enlightening Arjuna. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, one may possibly be freed from material entanglement. It has also been explained that it is due to association with the modes of nature that the living entity is entangled in this world. Now in this chapter, the Supreme Personality explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind, and how they give liberation. The knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attained perfection and transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way. This knowledge is far, far superior to all of the precedent knowledge thus far explained. And knowing this, many attain perfection. Thus it is expected that one who understands this working chapter will attain perfection. Did they study Sankhya philosophy?
No, sir. The first creation was 5 elements. Mm-hmm. And the second creation was 4 elements, Sankhya, Vairagya, Tapa. And Brahmaji was thinking how to distribute that, then the 4 Kumaras appeared.
Mm.
But they disappointed him because they accepted the impersonal philosophy. So then Brahmaji prayed. When he prayed, the Hamsa Avatar came. And Hamsa Avatar taught them the philosophical speculation, which is opposed to mental speculation. Prabhupada said one plus mental speculation will take somebody to hell. Philosophical speculation, you just read it. What did Prabhupada say? Philosophical speculation will take one to bhakti.
Mm.
You just read it, right? Yeah, so philosophical, what we discussed, this is also a lot of philosophical speculation. The 14th chapter was.
Mm.
Then they went to philosophical speculation. And then eventually they got it.
Mm.
So it's good, it's helpful. You want to give the answer, or there's a few other, maybe you can read one by one.
Okay.
Just click on it.
Okay, so this one says, this is a comment. To use the intellect to inquire about the Supreme only goes so far as per I am not this body, I think, therefore I am. And he's still writing. Let's see what he said. This one says, really appreciated the point that the same activity we perform now can take us deeper and deeper if we do them sincerely.
Thank you for the nice talk. And you mentioned how the devotees, they also get yogic powers as kind of a byproduct of bhakti, but it's not the goal. And just to comment, that reminded me of the story of, I believe it was Vasudha Devi, who's Lord Nityananda's second wife. And she was serving, they're taking prasadam, and she was serving. And of course, Lord Nityananda was there and other exalted devotees. And at some point, her sari was coming off, like her hair was becoming uncovered. And at the same time, she was serving. So in order to quickly cover her head again, she manifested two other arms. So that she could cover her head. And whereas on the other hand, there's the example of Banasura, who, you know, he had 1,000 arms, but he did all these austerities for 1,000 arms, and how did he use those 1,000 arms? He wanted to fight with everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is from Mother Ragatmati. Thank you, Kishore Gopal Prabhu, for following in the footsteps of your exalted mother. Please encourage your peers to step up as you have for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, realizing as you just said, that the shelter of the Lord is our only substance. Sustenance.
Very nice.
This is from, anyway, this is the next question, comment. Nice realization, Prabhu. Then the next one is, Srila Prabhupada wrote to Ridhananda Das Goswami that says, mental speculation is Krishna the taste of water? And philosophical speculation is, how is Krishna the taste of water? That's true. Everybody got it? So mental speculation is kind of like atheist. Don't accept it. Okay, the next one is, you say two boons. What was the other boon Krishna gave to Narad Muni? Mention the book.
Mention the book? Oh, from the Bhagavad Gita. I can't remember.
Okay, then the next one is, it's the same person. It's a judge. Thank you for your wonderful, inspiring class. Oh, this is Kishore Prabhu.